Do you think that when a preacher is preaching, he should ever talk about himself and his own faith? Should a preacher ever use his own personal experience as a line of argument? You know, this is done by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. Again and again, he refers to how this thing happened to him. And sometimes today, I think I have heard this, and maybe you have, we have heard it brought out that when a man gets up and uses personal testimony, tells you how this thing looks in his sight, there are people who suggest that he is too full of himself, that this is egotistical. And every now and again, you will come across somebody that will draw attention to the way the man uses the first-person pronoun, that he uses the I too much. Now, I recognize, and I think we all would recognize, that it's possible to be interested in oneself to a point of disadvantage, but is this necessarily so altogether? And we'll find this now as we turn in the book of Acts to chapter 26. We're going to see Paul on trial, you might almost say on trial for his life, in the court of King Agrippa. He's going to give an account of his position. He's going to defend his ministry. And I want you to notice how personal he is. Let me just say offhand that one reason why a man preaching the gospel would want to be personal is because one of the surest ways he knows the gospel is true is because it worked in his case. It's like a man offering you medicine. And I don't know of a better argument to offer medicine to you than when the man talks and says, well, I took it. I was like this and I was like that and I took it and it did this to me and it did that to me. Personal, listen to that. And they did with Paul. Now we're going to be reading and studying in chapter 26 in verse 9. We'll be going on with there and we'll see how Paul defended his position and his actions before King Agrippa. So I'm going to read and comment as I go along. If you have your Bibles, open them up. The book of Acts, chapter 26, from verse 9 on. And remember, this is written for our learning. When we read this thing, we see how it really is and how things are. So this is what I read. Paul writes, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This is a kind of a report out of Paul's past, and if you'll notice, there is a sort of a conciliation in this. I mean, he talks sort of friendly with people. He's talking before King Agrippa. King Agrippa is not a Christian. He is a man, he's a man of the world. And Paul is up here because he's been accused of certain things by the Jews. This whole thing is a matter of religious belief, and Paul holds a certain position, and he wants Agrippa to understand it. And notice then how he starts out. I verily thought with myself, it was my own opinion, my own inward conviction, that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And those of us who have read in the book of Acts will remember that Paul aided and led in the persecution of the church of all those who believed in Jesus Christ. Verse 10, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, I arrested them, having received authority from the chief priests. I'd get a warrant for their arrest from the chief priests, claiming that they were teaching what they shouldn't teach and that they were disturbing the peace. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. We know of one outstanding instance, and that was the case of Stephen. You will remember in reading about the stoning of Stephen that the people who stoned Stephen to death laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And here Saul accepts, he's now the Apostle Paul, and he accepts such things as that as having been an indication of his conduct and his attitude. Verse 11, and I punished them oft in every synagogue. Wherever I came across these people who talked about believing in Christ, I exercised the full authority that I had to bring them into trouble and into distress, and compelled them to blaspheme, and as I tried to make them change their testimony. and being exceedingly mad against them. The word mad being, bitterly opposed to them. I persecuted them even unto strange cities, not only in Jerusalem, but out unto other cities. He led the forces of those who tried to suppress the whole Christian teaching and the whole Christian idea, and that was Paul's way of feeling. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. This was an actual event. This thing really happened. This light from heaven shone not only around Paul, but shone around about all those people who went with him. Here is Paul on the road to Damascus to hunt out people who claimed to be Christian believers, that he might bring them to court and accuse them of teaching things that were disturbing to other people and that were wrong. And now he's on the road, and suddenly this light from heaven, brighter than the noonday sun. In verse 14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, this was not a peculiar experience of Paul himself. This wasn't some private hallucination of his own. It didn't happen only to him, it happened to everybody in the company. When we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, we've heard this before in our study, but let me repeat it again. Maybe you were not listening when we went over this in an earlier chapter, because this is the third account given by Paul of his personal conversion, his personal being turned to God. Here he is traveling along the road. Suddenly a blinding flash of light, and it strikes them in such a way that they fall to the ground. Not only Paul, but everybody else. Then he hears a voice speaking unto him personally. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now there are several things in this passage I want you to notice. In the first place, you can see right away something happened to Paul that was no possible way of dismissing. Happened to him from the outside. No question about it. Furthermore, it was directly to him. Saul, Saul. And I would like to mention, so far as you and I are concerned, no matter how much we hear preaching, no matter how much we read of that which is written, it's the day that the preaching we hear comes right into our own personal heart. When we personally feel we're being referred to, far better than the preacher knows, that day God is getting ready to show us something, to draw us nigh unto himself. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And now, afterwards he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And you remember the story. It's pretty obvious that Paul was persecuting these Christian-professing people, these people who professed faith in Christ. He was persecuting the people who claimed to believe in the living Lord Jesus Christ. Those were the ones that he was giving trouble to. What does the Lord Jesus say? You're giving me trouble. You're doing these things to me. And you'll remember that in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus said that anybody that does anything to one of the disciples is doing it to him. That when anybody affects any of the disciples, they're doing it to him. And this is what he made Paul realize. And it is a shock to Paul, I'm sure. It would be a shocking thing to think. Paul felt that all he was dealing with was some men and women who said they believed in Jesus of Nazareth. And Paul was treating them like heretics. And he was giving them a bad time. And now comes this person in front of him who says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, some of you may remember that at an earlier time I talked about what is meant by this phrase, kicking against the pricks. And I must take the time then to bring this to your attention again, because I think it's worth, even if I repeat myself, let me say it again. This is an expression that comes out of the general problems and practices of driving oxen. Now, you may know from what you have read and what you've heard that the ox can be a very slow-moving animal. As a matter of fact, he can be so slow as to be exasperating to the people who are getting along with him. And there will be people who can have the feeling that he's just naturally lazy and he doesn't want to move, so they try to hurry him along. And the ox driver tries to hurry the ox just like a horse driver may want to hurry the horses, or a mule driver may want to hurry the mules. So the ox driver wants to hurry the ox. You and I probably have seen it happen. We probably know that the usual way of hurrying a beast along this way is to inflict some discomfort to him, which is a nice way of saying you hit him with a stick. You use a whip on him, and you lash him with a whip. But an ox can get impervious to that. He can get callous to it. The whip doesn't bother him. His skin is thick. And even a stick doesn't bother him so much because his skin is thick. And under these circumstances, the ox driver has to think of a way of doing it. He doesn't want to be clubbing him all the time. Doesn't want to break any bones. And he gets tired of just hitting him with a stick all the time. So he has a method like this. He takes a long stick with a sharp point, and walking behind the ox, he puts this sharp point in the ox's heel. If you're acquainted with the skeleton of an ox, you will know that his hind foot will have what looks to us like a heel. We properly call it a fetlock, and underneath that last joint is a soft, tender spot there. That's underneath that last joint and just above the hoof. Now, the ox driver, with his long pointed stick, pricks in that spot and pushes them, pricks him. Well, that hurts him, and it causes the ox to flinch and to move, and in that way the ox moves faster. That's the idea of the goad, and that's what an ox goad is. Now, occasionally, the ox would get... he wouldn't like it, and he'd kick. Well, when he kicks right into this sharp stick. And that's the meaning of saying it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. All of which is a way of the Lord Jesus is referring to the way Paul is being affected in his conscience, in his own soul and spirit. God's working with him and pushing him along toward some conclusion, and he's resisting it. And he is saying to him, it's hard for him to kick against the pricks. And all of this would make it seem that Saul was probably, in his whole energetic campaign against the Christians and everything he was doing that way, he was actually working against Jesus of Nazareth, our God and Heavenly Father. Make us to be intelligent in our personal dealing with the Lord, that we may not foolishly resist when we are being shown the things of the gospel. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.